I'm so thankful that you have chosen to worship the Lord today, because I know that you could pick something else. I know in the warm day you could have your feet in the water, the cool waters somewhere. I know that. But you have picked today and this morning to worship Jesus. I think that's very important. And my title today talks about the adversary, and I think it's important because the adversary is busy. All right? I like to talk about Jesus. You know that. I love the Lord, and I want people to know Jesus. And I love to talk about Jesus, but today we're going to talk about the adversary. Because the adversary is real. The adversary is alive. And as the title implies, he wants you. If you have not come to know Christ yet, he will do everything that he can to keep you from claiming the name of Jesus. He is busy about that. And if you know Christ today, he will do everything that he can to influence you and hurt you and maim you and all manner of things. And so why do I want to talk about the adversary today? I don't. I want to talk about Jesus. But the adversary is real. And I want you to have an awareness, a recognizing, if you will, that the lies and the schemes and the deception and the tricks and all these things that the adversary, the devil, is willing to do to keep you in your relationship with God, to be full and vibrant and alive, he's willing to do whatever it takes. So that's why today we're going to talk about the adversary. And I found within the first service that I had about an hour's worth of material, and we got 25 minutes to do it. And so hang on. We're going to look at a lot of stuff, but I want you to realize the emphasis today, even though the adversary is the title, the emphasis today is Jesus. And so 1 Peter 5, let me start out with this. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, Peter is talking to disciples, to Christians, to people scattered around. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, Christians, your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I said to the first service, and I'll say it again, I think it wouldn't have been out of context to say seeking whom he may devour next, because that is his business. Seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, Peter says. Resist the devil. Be steadfast in your faith, Christians, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. I want you to know just from these verses, the devil is real, and he is definitely around. And he is definitely out to influence, consume, hurt, maim, tear down Christians, tear apart marriages. He is definitely around to hurt the Christian. He is definitely around to keep those that haven't made that step of faith to ever do it. He's preventing you. He doesn't want you to do it. In Luke 8, just a couple, 3 weeks ago, we talked about the four soils. Some of you remember that. Some of you weren't here. You never had a chance to hear that. Some of you that were here don't remember, but we did. Trust me. We talked about the four soils. And you remember that first area, if you will, the seeds fell by the wayside. Listen to this once again and recognize the wiles of the devil. This is from Luke chapter 8, verse 10, 11, and 12. Now in the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. We talked about that the other day. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. We might know that God is real even. We might have heard it. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. He is real, and he wants to keep you from ever taking that step of faith that proclaims the name of Jesus, invites him into your life. He wants that not to happen. That's the category Jesus spoke about in that wayside category. He snatches away that word, lest you believe and are saved. He's real. He's clever. I told the first service, and it's worth mentioning again, he will not come at you like the roaring lion visibly, the devil suit with the horns and the tail and the points and all that. He's not going to come at you that way. He's going to come at you below the radar. He's going to come at you, as Genesis 3 verse 1 said, more crafty, more subtle, more cunning than any. That's what God said about him. Than any other creature. He's going to come at you below the belt. He's going to come at you below the radar. Unexpectedly, tempting you, tripping you, trying to hurt. even to snatch away the Word of God, if he can, from you. Revelation has a great deal to say. I only want to refer to two verses. The first one in Revelation 2, verse 10, Jesus told John to write to the church at Smyrna, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil," he said, "is about to put some of you in prison." He's talking to the church. Persecution, problems. He says the devil is about to throw some of you in prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, Jesus said, and I'll give you the crown of life. That's good news. Even when you get assailed, even when you get tempted, even when he throws you in prison. We haven't been in prison in America yet for persecution, but people are, rest assured. People are in prison for claiming the name of Jesus. People are dying to the tune of 200,000 people a year in other countries because they claim the name of Jesus. The devil is about to put some of you in prison, Jesus told John to write to the church at Smyrna, and some of you will die. But be faithful. Pakistan, we heard about last week, China, Colombia, Iran, Africa, even a little in the United States, all over people are being persecuted, and it's all at the author of the adversary. He hates God, and he hates God's people. In verse 12, he writes to the same chapter, Revelation 2, he writes to the church at Pergamos, These things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. You say, Jimmy, you mean to tell me that there's strongholds of the devil in places? That's what he says. And as you talk to people around, and as you talk to people maybe within your own circle, your family, your friends, your coworkers, you start to hear and you start to realize that's going on in your place. The throne of Satan is there in this church, and yes, in America today. Yes, perhaps in our own backyard. He's real, and he will trick you, and he will draw you in. I don't know if you heard this or not, and just the other day on some news, I heard the police went into a house, a basement out east somewhere. The basement was covered in blood. They suspect human sacrifices were going on there, and they found dead chickens with their blood run out. This stuff is real because the adversary is real. People worship him. People offer sacrifices to him. Jesus said to John, write to Pergamos and say, I know that Satan's throne is there. I know that. And you hold fast to my name, he said, and did not deny my faith even in the days which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. He will dwell in your house if you give him an opening. He will dwell in our communities if we give him a chance. There are strongholds of Satan here and there. This talks about that. Let me touch on Luke 13 just for a minute. Verse 14, 15, and 16. I bring that to our attention for this reason. Jesus had just healed this lady. She had been afflicted, infirmed for 18 years. The Bible said she was in the synagogue. It was a Sabbath day. Jesus healed her. Of course, what happens? The Pharisees are indignant. They're chastening him. They're chastening her. If you're going to come to get healed, don't come on the Sabbath. Come some other day. And Jesus replies to them. The Lord then answered them and said, hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? In other words, he's saying there's necessary things that happened. He said, and so ought not this woman, listen now, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. Did you get that? He said, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. You mean to tell me, you say, Jim, you mean to tell me he can touch my body and afflict my body? That's what Jesus said. He's real. I've talked to people, some of you, in the last 2-3 weeks. He has touched your body. He's touched mine. He's real, and he will afflict you, and he will hurt you if you give him a chance, and sometimes we don't even have to give him a chance. We'll talk about that in just a minute. You can read about Job. You can see all about it. We don't have time to go there. The devil was in conversation with God. Job seemed to be this pawn in this game. It seemed like it was a bad deal, a bad game. And Satan kept coming back to God and getting permission. But you know the story. He was maimed. He was crippled. Kids, killed them all. Possessions, gone, destroyed. The devil, Satan, Lucifer, your adversary, Antichrist, call him whatever you like, beast, false prophet, arch enemy, Genesis 3, God said he's more crafty than any other creature. He will come at you when you are not expecting it. The Bible calls him a liar. John says there's no truth in him. Jesus said he's a liar from the beginning. He's a murderer. He's a deceiver. He's a destroyer. He wants to take the place of God. That's why God threw him out of heaven. You can read a little bit about that in Isaiah 14, 12. He was thrown out of heaven because of pride. And I wonder sometimes, why do we have pride? I think we know, don't we? The father of all lies is also the father of pride. He said, I'm going to be like God. And God threw him out of heaven. And ever since he's been thrown out, he's been trying to wreak havoc with God's people and God's church and God's institution called marriages and the church. He will deceive the church. He will deceive the nations. He will deceive you if we give him any opening whatsoever. He is real. He tempted Christ in the desert. He's had conversation with God. We already talked about that from Job 2. Jesus called him three times in the book of John, in chapter 12 and chapter 14 and chapter 16. Three times Jesus called him the prince of this world. He is real. So why in the world, you say, Jim, do we have to talk about this today? Because as I look around, as I read more about this, as I study more from the Word and from other experts, I read and I realize that he is deceiving millions. And after I thought through this and wrote this all down and pondered a little bit, I rewrote that to say, no, he is deceiving billions. He is deceiving billions of people. Billions of people are going to hell because of the deceptions and the lies of the adversary. That's why we talk about it just this day. To recognize, to have a realization, to have a familiarity, an awareness that he's real. And he is deceiving billions of people. 1 John 3, 7 through 9 says, little children, let no one deceive you. He's talking again to Christians. And he's deceiving both, Christians and non-Christians. But he says, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. That's all he's ever known. Contrary to God. Liar from the beginning. Murderer, deceiver. He has sinned from the beginning. Now listen to this. I like this verse. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. For this reason, it says, Jesus came to earth. This is one of the reasons. But John said, for this purpose, the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You see, he got a foothold in Eden. When God put his beloved, his creation, his Adam and his Eve in Eden, the devil showed up. That's when Genesis 3:1 says he's more cunning, more crafty than anybody else, than any other creature. And he slipped in, he slithered in below the radar. And John is referring to he came in the Garden of Eden and Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. He slipped into our lives as humanity. 1 John 4:1-3 says this, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is not of God. Listen to me for a second closely. Everything that is a half-truth are contrary to the absolute truth of God is a lie from the devil. Let me say that again. Everything that is a half-truth. Okay, let me give you an example. You've heard about Jesus as a prophet. You've heard about major world known religions that will call him a prophet. Small p, but they leave it at that. They leave it as a prophet. That's what he was, a man prophet, but not God. People that claim him as a good man, the rabbi, the teacher, the top 10 guys of all time, Time once said. He's a lot more than that. He is God. He is Savior. He is Redeemer. And any truth or any half truth that says, yeah, he's a prophet, but that's all he was, or he was a son of God, but not God, those are half truths. They are lies from the devil that are deceiving people. That's why John says, check the spirits. Recognize that he is from God. Recognize that he is God. Recognize that he came in the flesh of the Virgin Mary, died for our sins, went to the grave, rose again. Recognize that that is the Savior. Anything else won't do. Anything else is half-truths. He is good at half-truths. He said in the garden, you won't die. Eve, come on, give me a break. You won't die. Half-truths are lies from the devil. People, pastors, myself included, denominations, priests, presidents, religions, TV people. We seem to think the TV guys got it all together sometimes. Anyone else not claiming the name of Jesus as Son of God, risen from the dead, Savior of humanity, no other name under heaven whereby must be saved, are wrong if they don't claim that. Myself included. If I do not claim Jesus as Messiah, if some TV personality says all roads lead to heaven, if some other pastor said, you know what, he is a pretty good guy, but not God, they're wrong. He is God. And the adversary is confusing people by the billions into thinking in these half lies. Only he calls them truths. The devil gets a toehold in a church and starts to relax the truth of Scripture, he will have that church. Because pretty quick we start to say, you know what, Jim, I'm thinking that's this 21st century, that maybe is a little outdated. I'm thinking 21st century, this is a little irrelevant for today. You see, when the adversary gets into a church and starts to relax the standards of God's truth, he will gain a major foothold in church. In our church, in any church, if we relax the truth of the Word of God, this is God's Word. This is truth. If he can get teachers, pastors, myself, or anybody else not to believe that he is God, that not to believe that he's the Savior of the world, he's getting a foothold in the church. If the devil can get people to think that all roads eventually end up there anyway. I've been a pretty good person. Matter of fact, I've had communion a couple times. Matter of fact, I've had baptism time or two. If he can get us to think that without claiming the name of Jesus, he's winning. It's Jesus that saves. And he doesn't want non-believers to ever come to that point of realizing, I need Jesus. He's okay with a church full of people as long as we don't claim the name of Jesus. He's okay with multitudes coming to church on Sunday morning and saying, oh boy, I've been there now, I can get about my business. He's okay with people in church as long as they never get close to Jesus. He's okay with that. Because too often we get to church and we think, now I'm going to be there. Now I have arrived. Now I have made, and please don't get me wrong, I'm glad you're here. But he will make you think, as long as you're there, you're saved. It takes a decision for Jesus to be saved. He hates God. He hates God's institution. He hates his word. He hates Jesus. He hates marriage. He hates the church because these are his institutions. There's no truth in him. He cannot tell the truth. He is all about lies. And Christians, listen to me for a second. He will hurt you if you give him a chance. And sometimes he doesn't need the chance. Remember what Peter said. Remember, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking who he will devour. He will rob from you if he gets a chance. He will get you mad in the church. He will tear down your marriage. He will tear apart churches. He will tempt pastors and leaders and lay alike. He will destroy everything of God's that he can if we let him. The devil is bound for hell and he knows it. And in the meantime, he will do what he can to hurt what is God's. You know what, though? The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We have Jesus. If we know Jesus, we have victory. Amen? Amen. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is healing power. There is cleansing power. There is transforming power. There is power over the devil. Thanks be to Jesus. So you say again, Jim, why do you tell me all this negativity? Two things real quickly, because the adversary is confusing even the people of God. And he is keeping those that do not have a born-again relationship with Jesus confused about what life is all about. God's people are confused today in our thinking. I heard it again. Marie heard it. Maricela heard it. We heard it from our bishop. Most cases today, there's no discernible difference in the lifestyle of the church or those outside the church. No difference. He has confused the Christian into thinking that sin is okay. He has confused the Christian into thinking that getting alone with God or coming to church or being part of a Bible study or getting on my knees before Him is optional. He has confused the church into thinking you'll not die, Jim. You don't need to pray today. You'll not die, Jim. Don't go ahead and look at the Word. You're a Christian. You can get by a few days. He is confusing even the Christian. And we are no discernible difference than the world in America today in most every category. He is confusing even the church. And those that have not been able to take that step of faith yet, he is a master at telling people, you're a good person. Don't worry about not having Jesus in your life. He's a master at telling people, we don't need Jesus. Why? Because Jesus has defeated them. And Jesus is the way to heaven. Jesus is the way to God. He's a master at getting billions to think all roads lead to heaven, etc., etc., etc. He's a master at people in church, I mentioned this already, feeling good about church and right where the devil wants us as long as I don't claim the name of Jesus. And lest we think we are above his trials and temptations and his fiery arrows, beware. You will become very, very vulnerable when you think that you are above the attacks of the adversary. Please hear me. I'm not here to condemn. I'm here to enlighten us about the wiles and the craftiness and the lies and the deception of the devil. Listen very closely. I'll try to wrap up here in a couple minutes. Our time is running out. If you are not absolutely sure that you are born again, that is the terminology of Jesus in John chapter 3. If you are not absolutely sure that you are born again, the devil will try to make you think that Jim is a lunatic. You don't know what he's talking about. He will try to get you to think, I've been to church, I did this, I did that, I'm okay. That's what he will try to get you to think. If you have not taken that step of faith, he will confuse you and keep you complacent right where you're at to keep you from claiming the name of Jesus. If you are not absolutely sure that you are born again today, you need to repent and invite Jesus Christ into your life. He's the only one that saves. He's the only one. He's the only way to God the Father. Jesus himself said that. And Christians, brothers and sisters, if you are claiming the name of Jesus today, be very aware. The adversary will tempt you with all manner of things to get your focus off of Jesus and to sin. Then he sits back and laughs and says, ha ha, God, see, I told you I could get him to sin. There are ways, Christians, that the adversary can influence your life even as a Christian. You say, Jim, I thought if I was born again, I thought if I had the Spirit of God in me, that the Antichrist, the devil, couldn't touch me. He can't take you out of the Father's hand, but he can mess with you. I can give you account after account after account that I've read and talked to about all the things that because of something in my life, I have given him a little leeway, given him a little opening in the door, if you will. I've read some books lately. I've talked to some people lately. I talked to an expert just last week. He's 81 years old, and he's been dealing in this spiritual war his whole life. And so listen closely. You that are Christians today, listen closely, because these things can, and of course, if we haven't claimed the name of Jesus, they'll affect us too. But even the believer, listen closely. I'm going to throw out a couple things here before I close. Generational sin will give the adversary a foothold in your life. Okay? What I'm saying is, if I'm into witchcraft, if I'm into sacrificing chickens to the devil, my children will be affected, whether they want to or not. It is serious stuff. If my parents, they didn't, were into that stuff, I would be affected. Generational sin opens up the door to this master of lies. Child abuse. I could tell you accounts of poor children. I've read them, and I've heard firsthand from people that they were abused as children, completely innocent, not their fault. 10, 20, 25 years later, until that is dealt with and severed, influenced by the adversary. Child abuse is seriously ugly stuff, and the adversary will use it to hurt you, and you are the innocent one. Anger, bitterness, rage, rebellion, resentment are roots from the devil. And if we let them get a hold in us, he will take hold. He will fester your anger. He will work on your resentment. He will work on your rebellion. And he will affect you even if you claim the name of Jesus. Occult practices? Oh yeah, it's real. Some of you know it. Some of you have seen it. Some of you are very aware of it. Horoscopes. You say, Jim, you got to be kidding me. You want to delve into such things as occult practices? And horoscopes and astrological practices are part of it. You want to open up a door to let the adversary in just a little bit? That's one way to do it. Ouija boards and other similar methods of contact with the spirit world. May I advise you, like Bill Gothard advised thousands of us 20 years ago when I went to a seminar, burn them. They will harm you. They will allow an entrance from the adversary into your lives. Fantasy role games, even seemingly as innocent as Dungeons and Dragons, can be an avenue, an opening, if you will, to let him start slipping into your life. The acceptance and usage of psychic powers. I was in Fargo a while back and I saw this big sign, psychic, third floor. Give me a break. We go to that stuff? Apparently we do, and pay. We want to delve into that stuff? We're opening up the door for the adversary. Practicing ESP, levitation, clairvoyance. For some of you that don't know, clairvoyance is the power to perceive things that are not present in the senses. And levitation, I think you know what that. I have seen people attempt that garbage. And we start getting involved in that kind of stuff, we are opening up the door to the devil. We are opening up the door for an attachment. I call it an attachment. I call it like a bloodsucker. He'll attach himself to you in one form or another. Other experts call it demonization. I'm not talking about demon possession. That's real too. I'm talking about the believer that will allow these types of things into our lives. He will attach himself to you and damage you and hurt you if we give him that kind of opening. Occults, cult involvement, seances, belief in reincarnation, attempts to contact the dead is serious stuff, and it's not from God. It's from the adversary. And we start delving into that kind of stuff, we are opening up the door for the adversary. Lastly, Eastern and mystic religions and their symbols are very, very dangerous. We must be aware and cognizant of these things. I could tell you more stories of missionaries' daughters that have been caught up in this stuff, unaware, bringing home stuff. And all of a sudden, they're asleep at night on their bed, and it is, as it were, things under the bed reaching up to claw them to death and sink their meat hooks into them simply because of cymbals and rock music, acid music. All that type of stuff, let me suggest, as Bill Gothard did to Sherry and I, and asked Sherry, I took it very, very seriously, burn them. If you've got that kind of music that's promoting immoral and destructive behavior and degrading women and all the filth that's in the music today, burn it. It will not get you closer to God. It could get you closer to the devil. I will admit and confess to you, I burned a lot of records when that was made known to me. I thought about using them as clay pigeons, but I just burned them. The New Age movement. If we start involving ourselves in that thought process, we will open up an avenue to the adversary. I said it before and I'll say it again. The devil is the father of all lies, and he will deceive you if you give him a chance. Do not think that you're above the tentacles of the devil and his wiles. I tell you this today simply for awareness. Please be aware. Too many people think the devil isn't even real. He's very real. He's taking millions to hell where he's going. He's very real. Please do not think that we can skip along through life and never be affected, because as Pastor Wendell Myers told Sherry and I once, we are in war. We are in spiritual war. And he told Sherry and I, as we come into the pastorate, and shortly thereafter she got run over by a tractor on our farm and hurt very, very badly, as did our son-in-law. He said to me, expect persecution in this business. He is real. And the church needs to wake up to the reality of the influencing lies of the adversary. Let me challenge you with this. Did you know that if you are not following the Lord Jesus Christ, did you know that if you're not absolutely surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, you default, you're a follower of the devil? You say, Jim, that's a little harsh. Well, think about it for a second. Either we decide to follow Christ, that's why God put him here, so that he would die on that cross for our wretched, despicable sin, and that we might come to the cross at Calvary and say, I need Jesus because I'm a sinner too. And if I do not choose to follow Jesus, I default to following the Antichrist. You may or may not agree with that, but that's the way it is. So we need to. You say, Jim, what do I do? I don't want to follow the devil. I didn't even think I was all that bad. We need to decide to follow Jesus. It's that simple. We need to decide to follow Jesus. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. He is our propitiation. I know that sounds absurd, ridiculous, whatever you want to call it. You say, Jim, if I don't know Christ, I'm following the devil. I know that sounds absurd. That's the way the devil wants me to sound today. But if we have not claimed the name of Jesus, if we have not boldly come before him and said, I am a sinner, Father, and I realize you have sent Jesus for me, I claim him as my own, my Savior, I'm following the devil if I've never done that. All we got to do is read the New Testament a few times and we'll see that that's exactly what it says. The devil is fooling people, millions and billions of people, into thinking we don't need to make a decision for Jesus. And the other reason I tell you this is because even the Christians are being fooled. We don't have time. Matter of fact, we're beyond time, so I'll quit. But even the Christians are being fooled. He can, in fact, influence you, even if you're a Christian. I could tell you all kinds of stories, even in this congregation. Even in these communities, perhaps it was the prior occupants of a home, they're dealing in the occult. Perhaps it was the generational sin. But he can mess with you. He's real. And so why do we talk about this today? Be aware. that Jesus is the answer. We must confess whatever it is in our past, repent of that, and invite Jesus to wash us clean. Wash me that I will be whiter than snow. Even though my sins are as scarlet, the Bible says, when Jesus washes me, I'm white as snow.